Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Bob DeMarco, and today we're talking all things knives. As usual, this is episode 171, and these midweek supplemental shows are my opportunity to do all of the talking, to unbottle all of the knife things I wanted to tell my friends who don't care, and my coworkers who don't care, and my family, and my wife who don't care. And it's my opportunity to actually unbottle this stuff and tell people who do care. So here you are. And today we'll be talking about my 10 most carried tactical knives in 2020. And what I mean by that is my top 10 front right pocket knives, my main carry knives. They just so happen to be modern tactical, mostly in form and format. But, you know, I don't use them in a tactical sense. I cut sandwiches with them and errant threads on shirt collars, that kind of thing. But still, they do it wonderfully and with authority. And I love their designs. I love how they carry. And, well, I just love what they are. So we're going to talk about those. And then in subsequent weeks, we're going to talk about the most carried slip joints and most carried, I think probably just stick to that, this and slip joints, because I don't carry large fixed blades much unless I'm doing yard work. So maybe we'll do a yard work 10 most carried, but that might get a little redundant and boring. So we'll stick to 10 most top carried tactical knives today, next week, slip joints. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the cold steel news because a video has come out. Lynn Thompson put out a video addressing his fans and talking about the sale to GSM. We're going to talk about that for a minute. In Life Knife News, we're going to talk about, as well as the cold steel thing, we're going to talk about knife news because, you know, I get a lot of my stories from Knife News and I love them and I love Ben Schwartz's writing. He is awesome. Every year they put out a reader's choice poll and they ask questions like, what's the best fixed EDC? What's the best fixed kitchen knife, slip joint, blah, blah, blah. And some of those results are in, and man, I gotta say, they're, I don't want to say disappointing, but they seem to be narrow. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And that's, I have a little tip of the week, something I suggest, that I've been doing. That I want to maybe suggest to those of you with larger collections start doing, and I'll see what you think about that. So anyway, let's get into it, and we're going to start as usual with a pocket check, and that's a great opportunity, a subtle and opportunity for me to show off a knife that I have, and that I happen to be carrying. And today I am carrying the Terrell Todd / Zellrich 42 purchased Strider SMF. The SMF is the larger of the format. You can tell by the three body screws. This is a concealed carry SMF with a hollow grind. Beautiful hollow grind. He put an awesome, Zell put a great mirror edge finish on it. It's very sharp. S30V steel. Special gray tactical, I think it is. They made that aftermarket stop there. And so I bought this from Zell after he was coming on Thursday Night Knives somewhat regularly. And I asked him if he had a Strider to sell. And lo and behold, he did. And what a beautiful one. I've always loved these concealed carry models because they're less blocky. I like the longer blade, the bigger blade. But in the standard Lego version, that's the squared off version of the Strider, it's just a little bit too blocky for the pocket, but this concealed carry is thinner overall. And as you can see, it's contoured. So, it's a really, really great, knife. And I got an excellent deal, I guess like a friend deal, for it. And I'm really, really psyched about it. So I was carrying this today. I've had it for a while, but it sort of got on the back burner, as other knives came through. And then I also carried my sow belly trapper in tobacco bone from Rough Rider. Now, this knife, I didn't even know I was missing it, but I was missing it. And then I pulled out, I'm making some paintings for my daughters for Christmas. One of them is getting a mermaid and the other one is getting an owl. And, you know, I used to do a lot of painting, haven't in a while, but I had put this away in a sketch. I have a bag full of sketch equipment, pencils and stuff. And I like to sharpen my pencils with knives, obviously. And I had this in there and I forgot I put it in there. And I just love the spey blade on this knife. The Rough Rider Sow Belly Trapper is a handsome knife. And I don't know if it's the whole tobacco bone series, but this thing is just incredibly made. Really, really top notch. Better than most of my cases. Better than all my cases, or at least in the same realm. So yeah, today I got the Strider. That's on the expensive end. And then I have the Rough Rider on the inexpensive end. And both are amazing. And that's what a knife junkie is, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't matter the knife. It could be the $3 Walmart bait knife that I'm fond of thrusting into cardboard. That's a great knife, too. Even though it's a real cheap piece of crap, I still love it, and it's still a useful tool. So calling it crap is unfair. So are you a knife junkie? Let us know on the listener line, 724-466-4487. I want to show off, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, I'm going to use this opportunity, this platform, if you will, because it's not a show, it's a platform in the 2010s and beyond. So I'm going to use this platform to show off the knife I've been showing off over and over, actually for over a year now. When I first carved it out of AEBL, I showed it off. Look at this awesome unheat treated thing. And then after I spoke with Alex Steingraber on the podcast, who is, you know, he's like a professor in the lab, working with different steels and figuring out the best way to heat treat them. I sent him the knife finally. So I showed it off then. He heat treated it beautifully, sent it back to me, and then I've been working on it. And here it is. This is about as done as it's going to be. I showed this off on Thursday Night Knives the other night. And, well, here, I'm going to show it to you here. I call this pattern the Virginia Bowie for no other reason except that I live in Virginia. And I think it sounds cool. It sounds a little old timey. Sounds like something that might already exist. And how I define the Virginia Bowie is a full belly. Like, there's a little bit of straight right here, but pretty much it's all belly. And then a real long, sharpened swedge for back cutting things. And then there's always a swale right here. And I say always because I made one more. And like a Mama Luke, I forgot to bring it down. But that's probably my most EDC'd fixed blade of all times. And it's just a smaller version of this. But what I did differently on this was pretty much full flat grind it. So it's pretty darn sharp. It's 5/32 of an inch thick. So it's thinner than your standard quarter inch Bowie. And for a minute, I'm going to blame things on my equipment, but I use a Craftsman, you know, a Sears bought 42 inch by 2 inch belt grinder. Okay. It's one speed and that speed is very fast. And, it's for sharpening axes and tools and stuff. But it's not so much for the fine kind of grinding you do with knife making. And I am not saying that I am capable of that kind of fine grinding. I do not have technique. But frequently when I use that tool, I create real deep gouges with the belts that I use. And I use progressively smaller belts, but I just don't have the chops or the practice down to get rid of that kind of, you see those grind lines in there? So those kind of stick in my craw a little bit. And yes, I could hand rub it until they're gone. But then I start to worry about, and this is maybe something I need to address with some of the actual professionals I speak with, but I'm worried that if there's too much of a gouge here and I worry with the sandpaper right here, that it's going to be wavy. So you got to do the whole thing. I don't know if I lack the patience or what, but anyway, it's very sharp. Okay. And it hacks through limbs nicely. And that back edge is more wedge-like, but it also comes to a pretty keen. So I'm thinking of this as a sort of a fighting knife, and it's just kind of fun to do so. It's got black canvas micarta and purple liners. And, I really like this handle. I like this handle style. It's kind of a Moran handle style. And this swale here, lets you choke back a little bit and leverage it as a chopper. So anyway, showing it off. I like it. Got to make a sheath for it now. I'll make a Kydex sheath and I'll ask my brother if maybe he'll make a leather sheath for me too. And then I'll just carry it around the house, you know. can't take it out. But there you go, the Virginia Bowie. And I call it the Liberator. The Virginia Bowie is the style of Bowie. The Liberator is the model. And it's named kind of half after the B-24 Liberator, but also it's kind of supposed to be a little bit witty. Like, it's going to liberate you from a bad situation. All right, now you're like, yeah, I got that, Bob. You don't have to explain it. So anyway, if you want to help out the show, if you think that what we do here is valuable, check us out on Patreon. We have a great group of people over there. We have 3 tiers of support. You can support us at a $3 per month level, a $5 per month level, or a $10 per month level. We have cute little names for each. The $3 is the traditional junkie. The $5 is the tactical junkie. And the $10 is the gentleman junkie. Of course, after different types of knives. And at the $10 level, the most vaunted and exciting level, each month you get entered into a monthly knife drawing. And we give away a knife here. And I have word that the next knife we give away will be a traditional. I know I kind of hinted at that last time, but this time it's going to be for real. So if you want a cool traditional knife to come your way for help supporting the show, join up as a gentleman junkie. We have something cool for you here. Before we get into the state of my collection and talk about a couple of new knives that came across my desk and came into my collection, I'd like to A, plug the listener line, and B, play you something that we got from the listener line. This is the kind of stuff we're interested in, and we want to make all sorts of different kind of montages and just play them for you. In any case, today we have this.
I'm carrying a Serge Panchenko cleaver slip joint. The walk and talk on this thing is insane.
So that is a knife that I've been dying to get my hands on. Serge Panchenko just came out with a sort of mid-tech line of slip joints, one with a cleaver style blade, is this gentleman who next time call us back and leave your name too. But cleaver blade, drop point blade, and a Warncliffe, and they're just man, they look beautiful. They're very simple, and he's got a great logo. It's etched in the side or embossed in the side of the handle, and they just look like great little slip joints. So thanks for calling in and letting us know. I think maybe we have another one that came in yesterday. I'm not sure. Keep them coming. I'd like to gather a bunch and do, you know, just for my own edification, perhaps, and for everyone's enjoyment, put out a little montage of everyone's pocket checks. So there you have it. Let's get on to the state of the collection. So Rob Bixby, guest on the show. Awesome guy. You know him as Apostle P. On YouTube. He does his weekly knife sales. He does them on Thursday nights, before Thursday Night Knife. So you can wet your whistle and buy a knife on Rob's channel, Apostle P. And he's always got sweet knives and always a bunch of them, like 30. He usually has about 30 knives or something like that. And, buy a great knife from him. And you can either opt to have him put his edge on it or not. And then you can come over to Thursday Night Knives and show it off and talk about it. But in any case, I checked in. When Rob doesn't totally sell out on Thursday nights, which he usually does, people usually buy everything he has, he'll put up a video a couple of days later. I think it's like on Sunday, and he'll say price drops between now and Thursday. Price drops on the knives that were in the videos last time. And there was a clutch of GECs, as there usually are. But this time, they were one of my favorite patterns. The 14. Well, that's not a pattern, I don't think, but model, frame, the 14. He had three of them. One of them was a spear point and pen blade with the knife bright. That's that glow in the dark sort of kieranite. And then he had one that was also two blades, and I can't remember what the configuration was. And this third one, which I couldn't believe was on the reduced list. It was a moral imperative for me to rescue this from mediocrity and put it into my collection of GECs with this beautiful autumn bone cover. I just am such a sucker for this autumn bone. Unlike my other 14, which is a 2018 production in the same autumn jig bone, this has more of a peach seed jigging, those real small jiggings that are sort of parallel to one another. This one was 2 years prior in 2016. The 14 and the 15 are a popular frame size for them. or frames for them. They're the same shape, but the 14 is smaller. So they come out with them somewhat regularly. But goodness gracious. So this was this 2016, and they treated, first of all, the jigging is different. It's a little bit bigger here. And they polished the bone in a different way. This has a, I don't know, it seems like a thicker polish or just a more polished polish. But then I look at the blade and I see that machine cut swedge, they call that, and that long pole. And I think this is one of their higher, I think, yeah, this is a Titiute. So I'm pretty sure this is a dressed up 14 with that blade and that those shiny covers. So anyway, I had to buy this. This was my first I'm looking for a cloth. I got to get rid of that fingerprint. This was my first experience buying from the Apostle P. Rob Bixby. It was an awesome buying experience. I know everyone who's listening to this has secondary market buying experience, and it's usually pretty good for me on Blade Forums. That's where I do most of it these days. It's pretty well vetted, you know. Every once in a while, you'll come across someone sketchy, but you learn how to avoid those people pretty much. With Rob, I want it. You send him, you send him payment within a half hour. It's on its way to you. And, if you have him, sharpen it, it takes an extra day if you're one of the first six people. So definitely check out the Apostle P knife sales. I mean, and it's not just traditionals. I mean, it runs the gamut from custom knives to big fixed blades to all different kinds of everything, except for swords and war hammers and stuff like that. So definitely check out, Apostle P. Love that guy. I mean, Rob Bixby, he's awesome. Okay. So next I want to talk about a knife I bought. It was totally unexpected. Wandering through Home Depot, I always go to the knife section, see what they're selling, what kind of knives they're selling at Home Depot for people who are buying knives that use them. And it turns out they're selling this. Look at that. That's for drywall. Now, for those who cannot see what I'm holding up a dagger. This looks like a large version of the SOG Pentagon. The small fixed blade, it was a boot dagger at one time. I'm not sure if they're still making it, but it was double-edged and one entire side, it's the dagger. One entire side has a very aggressive serration pattern. The handle, so what I'm holding up is a Klein Tools drywall knife. I call it a drywall dagger because that's what this is. I mean, okay, think of it like this. I'm not even going to say that. So this has a great rubbery and ergonomic handle. It's got this butt cap. It's got a half inch thick metal butt cap, presumably steel hardened for hammering onto. So you can pound this through drywall and carve out whatever kind of piece you need to do. I think, I'm not sure. I'm not a contractor or a drywall guy. I don't know what you use this for in drywalling. I know what you use this for in the rest of the world outside of drywalling. I mean, if you look at this, there's nothing about this. This isn't a dagger. This is a dagger. And I love it because I live in a state where you can't buy daggers. You can't, you know, get them. And there are no knife stores here. Well, there are no knife stores in this region. I live in a very domesticated region. So to walk into Home Depot and see the gnarliest sort of implement of mayhem that you can, you know, hide in your tracksuit, I was shocked. Well, you know, but you can also buy a hatchet and a hammer and all sorts of other pickaxes and all sorts of things there. So, but this to me is particularly weapon-like. And geez, I hope my talking about this doesn't get them to, well, no one's listening to this anyway. So check this out. The Klein Tools Home Depot drywall dagger. If you're down on your luck or you only have $15 to spend on a dagger, go to Home Depot, man. I mean, how can you lose? How can you lose with that thing? So, there you go. You also get a little, cheesy little sheath, but, you know, if you're in Home Depot, maybe you have the skills to actually make your own sheath anyway. So there you go. All right. Next, I want to talk about this beauty. I'm going to put it under the knife cam because I think my camera's better here. But this, okay, so this, as you know, is my Emerson Elvia. But would you look at that beautiful burgundy canvas my car to handle, and backspacer. Is this not gorgeous? So if you look at this, you'll also see that it's contoured in this direction here. So my good friend, my good online buddy Tom at Blades and Such on Instagram, you know him from such hits as the CQC 13 with natural canvas tan micarta handles. Okay, Blades and Such is a gentleman on Instagram. His name is Tom, and he specializes in making beautiful handles for knives such as Emerson's, ZT's. I think he does some Spyderco's and Benchmade's and lots of other knives, but you got to check him out. It's Blades underscore N underscore Such. And if you have, now I have a whole collection of Emerson's I want to dress up this way. Not all of them. I mean, I do like the black G10 on some of them, but this Elvia knife to me is very special because, well, I spoke to the designer Ed Calderon on the Knife Junkie podcast. I've spoken with Ernest Emerson on the Knife Junkie podcast. And so this is a very special knife to me. Plus, Tom from Blades and Such has tweaked the handle, has, you know, created that beautiful handle for me. And so it's three different people. Actually, Tom is going to be coming on, the Deep Cut. We're going to talk about making scales and such. But this knife now represents three different people that I've developed a relationship with in this knife world that is valuable to me. You know, I always kind of scoffed being a Gen Xer. Maybe it's a Gen X thing. I don't know. Being someone born in the early 70s, to me, like, social media is like, yeah, I like watching knife videos, but all this, like, quote unquote friend stuff is ridiculous. But becoming a part of this knife community online, I have made actual friends and friendly acquaintances. Not everyone has to be your friend, you know, but I've had awesome conversations with people. And this knife represents three awesome relationships. So there you go. Sentimental Italian stuff coming out again. What can I say? So definitely check out Tom at Blades and Such. And he's over on Instagram. If you want to check out some great content on YouTube, you have to check out the Knife Junkie channel. It's awesome. You get knife reviews. You get these quick takes called collection selections. That's all visual. You get podcasts. You get live Thursday night knives. You get all sorts of stuff. So definitely check out YouTube. And actually, now that I'm sitting here just talking about myself, I think maybe from now on, I'll also start plugging other channels I love. So maybe I'll start right here and say Alex's Knife Box. He's been the oldest, dearest friend of this show. And you got to check out Alex's content on YouTube and on Instagram. I mean, he's very prolific there too. But he's been constantly, you know, they talk about Spyderco's constant quality control. Well, he does that with his videos. He's constantly updating his style, his format, and the kind of knives he covers. Everything from super high-end custom knives that he's worked with knife makers to create, down to great old favorites. Great old production favorites. So check out Alex's Knife Box when you're over there on YouTube subscribing to the Knife Junkie channel. So on to Knife Life News. I got it right. Knife Life News. So this week, oh man, bombshell dropped here in the knife world, especially for those of us who are fans of Implements of Mayhem, as I used earlier. That, I mean, I am not a mayhem bringer. You don't see me out in the street rioting or looting. But I just like tools of warfare, especially older ones. And there has been one company to stand above all in modern production of ancient weaponry, and that's Cold Steel. And I love them dearly, and I love their products dearly. And we heard this week that after 40 years, they started in 1980, after 40 years, Lynn Thompson has sold the company Cold Steel to GSM Outdoors. And GSM Outdoors is a conglomerate of outdoor outfitters and different kind of makers of different hunting and outdoorsy equipment. And so they wanted to add the toughest, sharpest, knife company to their roster of companies, and they acquired Cold Steel. Being a well-documented fan of Cold Steel, and especially their 100% unique take on modern production knives, and by that I mean, come on, who else is making a knife like this? Who else is doing that? No one. It doesn't even fit on our screen here. So, Cold Steel to me has started with the Tanto back in the late 80s. To me, they came on my radar in 87 or 86 or something like that. And so they'd already been around for 6 years making their Tanto. And what was that? That was a modern American interpretation of an ancient weapon. And, created for law enforcement, military, and then later a thriving collector market. They moved from that to, I remember they started making the Trailmaster, the Bowie. I'm like, oh, what's this? It's not a Tanto. They widened their, and then they started making folders. And I have I have one of their very, very, very first folders. It was like a keychain Tanto. Now I don't even know where the hell that is. I got to find it now that I'm talking about it. But they went from one model taking Americanized Tanto, which is arguably Lynn Thompson Americanized the Tanto by putting that sharp facet up front, in such a way, in that sort of chisel look. They went from that model to such a huge product line of weapons and tools and outdoors equipment. But really, I mean, when you think of Cold Steel, what do you think of first? Very first thing. Yes, of course. You think of this knife here. You think of the Espada. Or you think of a Warhammer, a modern Warhammer. Or three different types of Viking axes you can buy. You can buy a big battle axe, Viking style, from them. You can get a small Viking battle axe. Or you can get the throwing tomahawk, the Nordic throwing tomahawk. I mean, so my point is, they've sold themselves to GSM, an outdoors supplier conglomerate. Are they going to be able to continue to make halberds and double-handed Italian swords and all of these things they make? Filipino weapons and battle axes and throwing things, and is that going to fit into the GSM roster of products? That has been my big thing. And that's been everybody's big thing, I think. But, Lynn Thompson came out with a 3-minute video, in the first week of December 2020, saying, and I'm going to pull a couple of quotes here. He says, Andrew Demko and I aren't going anywhere. So he sets the whole thing up by saying, he doesn't say anything about, I've been in this game for 40 years. I'd like to kind of chill, which maybe he doesn't, because what he says is, he sold himself to a company that has broader capacity. They have a greater capacity for manufacturing and for sourcing materials and such. And then he goes on to say, Andrew Demko and I aren't going anywhere. And then he says very clearly, we haven't hung up our gloves. We haven't hung up our swords on the wall. We haven't put our knives in our sheaths, and we have not locked our guns in their safes. So relax about that, he says. And then, so he's basically saying, we're still in the game. We just have a big brother behind us, pushing us forward and giving us the kind of resources we need to really be who we are. That seems like something you would say for sure. And that seems like probably the most legitimate reason for doing something like that, you know? If you don't want to just retire and get out of the game. And he has indicated that he does not want to retire and get out of the game. And then he goes on to make, I got to say, and Lynn Thompson, I know you're not watching this, but I love you, man. I think you're awesome. And that's why I've been courting you for so long to get you on this show. I think you're so awesome. You're doing something no one else is doing. But what was with that weird apology? Oh, that was my stomach. What was with that weird apology, Lynn Thompson? One thing I love about you, aside from your awesome product line of great knives and things, implements and such, I love your unapologetic stance on things. You're the only one making 7.5-inch folders capable of doing pull-ups on or hacking a pig in half. You're the only one doing that. You're the only one making modern Warhammers. besides RJM, who, you know, you got RMJ. That's big custom money. You're the only one doing this stuff. Aside from Cult of Athena, and we're not LARPers, Lynn Thompson. So what was with that weird apology? Sorry if I offended anyone, and all that stuff. What the hell was that, man? One thing I've loved about you all along is that when people are like, I like Cold Steel and I think they're really tough, but I just don't like their marketing. I'm like, fine. You don't like their marketing, but that's what I like about them. And I don't know. Maybe that's a, anyway. So he goes on to say, we're headed for a bright new future. And what does that mean? Bright new future. Lynn, are you becoming a communist, Lynn? I'm just kidding. Of course. Now I'm trying to antagonize you because I want you to come on the show. I'm dying to talk to you, Lynn Thompson. What was with this weird apology? What's with this sale? Is it 40 years in the biz and now you're ready to cruise? Are you going to do a special projects thing like Lynn Thompson special projects like in the old days and move some of these cooler things like the swords and the halberds and the warhammers and the 7.5-inch folders to Lynn Thompson special projects and then have Cold Steel be the more domestic stuff under CSM with your hunting stuff and your more outdoorsy stuff? Tell us, man. We're dying to know. Hey, tell us on the Knife Junkie podcast. All right. Well, so that's where I stop. That's where I end this little tidbit. So there you have it. Next is, Ben Schwartz and his awesome Knife News. I love Knife News. Big, big fan of Knife News. So every year he puts out the annual Reader's Choice poll. And, you know, maybe this happened last year and I didn't notice, but this year it's it's a glitch in the matrix. That's what it is. It's a glitch. It's a deja vu. Everything is Benchmade or Spyderco now. So best fixed outdoor blade is the Benchmade Lyuku, which, it's a really good looking knife, you know, and I'm sure it's great in the outdoors. But there are so many other outdoor knife companies out there that I'm surprised that Benchmade, who is, you know, their métier is flippers, not flippers, but folders, axis lock stuff. Yeah, they do some fixed blades here and there. So I was kind of shocked to see that this is what made the best outdoor fixed blade. Maybe it's awesome. Haven't experienced it. Not much of an outdoorsman. Next, we had the Spyderco Nightstick, okay, for best tactical fixed blade. You're going with a Spyderco for best tactical fixed blade. And this is not, I'm not impugning Knife News or their readers. I'm just saying it just shows a lack of exposure. If you read Knife News a little bit more, you can see that there's more than Benchmade and Spyderco. So this is the best fixed tactical blade, according to the readers poll at Knife News, the Spyderco Nightstick, which first of all, let's start with the name. We're talking about a stabby, daggery knife. If you can't see what I'm looking at, it is double-edged. It's a 5-inch blade, and it's not double-edged. It's ground for double-edged, but it's only sharp on one side. So that's what really gets me. This is a dagger that's not a dagger. It's just a dagger and looks only. It's a dino, a dagger in name only. You look at it, and it's just like, okay, it's daggery, but they call it the Nightstick. This is a knife that's not only, it'd be a good slasher because of that belly. But I mean, this is a knife that is, purpose driven to puncture, to thrust, to stab. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And they call it a nightstick. What is a nightstick? It's a bludgeon. It is something that is dull that you pound onto something until it stops. This you stick in once and it stops. So I think it's a really misguided name. I think it's a misguided design, though the design is beautiful. All they have to do is get rid of their ridiculous little circle carved into the blade. They already have two circles in the handle. Can't they go with those two circles in the handle? Get rid of that circle, put another edge on it, and just come on. You don't sell it in a couple of states. But instead, we're just going to single edge this dagger and call it the Nightstick. Didn't think I was going to get so animated over this, but come on, people. All right, so best fixed EDC. So this is presumably a fixed blade that you can pop in your pocket or put on your belt in a very low-key way, in an EDC way. Think of all the little Topps knives. Think of all the little knives out there. And it's the Mora Eldris from like 5 years ago or 3 years ago. The Mora Eldris. this big, bulbous, cute, and I'm sure very useful, Scandi ground little stumpy little knife that's round and fat that's supposed to be hung around your neck. Okay, I love neck knives. Why this? Why this? But, well, that's what people love. So congratulations, Mora. So this morning I click on Knife News to see what the next reader's poll was. And the latest one is not a Spyderco. It's not a Benchmade. It's a Fox that looks exactly like a Benchmade. So now we're talking about the new, the best new slip joint of 2020. It's called the Fox Nauta. And it's based on an Italian nautical knife that originally has a Marlin spike on the back, you know, like a real sailing knife. So they got rid of that. They just looked at how Benchmade designed the proper handle and they copied that. And this is what they came up with. And this is the best slip joint of 2020. A copy of the best slip joint of 2017. People, come on. All it takes is a few minutes on Knife News every day. And you'll see that the world is much larger than Spyderco and Benchmade. I know at this point you're like saying, Bob, preach into the choir, and I don't need to hear your self-righteous moralizing about this. But I just was a little disappointed. I felt like 2020, more than any other year, just had just so many knives come out. And to keep kind of going back to the same trough, I don't know, a little disappointing. But it's kind of in my nature and my family's nature to rant, and it's sometimes you got to kind of let it off. So there you go. Dad, Vic, this was my knife rant. So you heard me get passionate and sentimental about knives over this past Knife Life News. You tell us what knives you're excited about or what sticks in your craw about what knife companies are doing or as I did, what knife people are selecting for their favorites. It's like, that's any of my business, whatever. But tell us what knives you're excited about. Call the listener line, 724-466-4487. 724-466-4487. You don't have to leave your name. It'd be awesome. You could say, hey, I'm Bob from California. And, you know, I like knives that don't rust or something like that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It'll all go into a montage eventually and we'll show it. So, I'm going long here, but before we get to my 10 most carried tactical knives in 2020, I want to talk very quickly. It's a very quick tip of the week. It's something that I've been doing recently because one of the benefits of having this channel, and the podcast is that people send me knives as gifts. And at first I did a lot of, oh no, I can't accept this. Then eventually I got tired of that. I'm like, I can accept this because what a beautiful knife. And I need to know what I'm talking about. And so I've gotten a couple of knives as gifts. You know, I've given a lot away as giveaway knives and stuff like that. But some have come expressly as gifts to me. And those are knives I will never, ever get rid of. You know, I talk about that a lot on this show, gift knives, whether they come from a buddy at work or from my beloved wife or from my parents or from people who watch the show or knife makers. A knife that comes to me as a gift will always, always stay in my collection. But now I'm starting to get to an advanced age, A, and B, I got a lot of knives. And the way I set them up in my knife case, they're kind of set up in order of importance, but I am now starting to write down for each knife why I still have it. Whether it's just, I love this design, cool design, I'll never be able to afford a Gus Ciccini knife, or never will I be inclined to buy one, even if I can. So I'll save this ZT. So it's that kind of thing. But really the purpose of this is, you know, I bought this knife from Greg Lightfoot after our interview. We had this conversation about making this knife, blah, blah, blah. I bought this knife, my pocket check today, from Zelric 42 after doing a couple of Thursday night knives and blah, blah, blah. And just to kind of tell the story. So A, I don't forget because it's likely to happen with a lot of these materials moving in and out. But B, it's just a good thing to have down the line. You know, there might come a time where I'm like, oh, I should sell some knives. And then I might, maybe not this one. This was a gift because of XYZ. I should remember that. And so anyway, catalog your knives, write it down. You know, and even if it's a matter of just writing down why you want to keep it, it's kind of an interesting, exercise. You know, I love modern Tantos, and this modern Tanto has a swedge, or whatever it is. So, there you go. That's my tip of the week. Write it down. All right, next. My most carried modern tactical knives in 2020. And now, this is inspired by the end of the year videos. All of my favorite people start doing this and start talking about their favorite, their most carried knives in 2020. Now, for me, I'm going to break it down because I didn't want to have slip joints in this because everything rotates so much. So I figured I'd break it down to my front right pocket, which always happens to be modern tactical knives, and with the exception of one belt knife. And then slip joints, I'll do those next week. And these are not necessarily in a particular order, though I think I've kind of ordered them a little bit. But before we get there, I want to do a couple of runners up. And these have to do with the fact that they haven't been in the collection for very long. But this Off-Grid Knives Scorpion is part of their Elite series. And this is a designed by Kerry Orifice and produced by Wee Knives. So knowing that Wee Knife is the one who made this, this is one of those cases where you're like, if you like the design, you know that it's an awesome knife. And I love this design, and carrying this knife has been a pleasure. And this is one of those gift knives. Kerry gave this to me. And if I didn't like it, I could say, thanks, Kerry. This is awesome. Make a video about it and then forget about it. But I keep bringing it up. I know I keep mentioning it. And I think it's partially because it's unexpected, an unexpectedly lovely knife, because I'm not so into the titanium frame lock flippers right now. And I love that blade. Something about it is evocative of the SOCOM Elite. So I'm gonna place them down kind of randomly. I'm not gonna try and make it look too pretty. So that's one of them. That's an also ran, a runner up, because it's too new. too new. So I'll put the runners up and then I'll clear them and then I'll go to the others. Next is where is it? Oh God, this knife. The American Blade Works Model 1 version 5. This also was a gift from the maker. This was created by Michael Martin, who was a guest of the podcast. And this particular knife has really been shaking up the knife world. I've seen so many great reviews of it. Oh, let's see the left-handed skills. So many great reviews of this thing. And then I got a couple in hand to try out. Tier one Justin sent me a couple. And a version 3 and a version 4. This is a version 5. And man, it's an incredible knife. If you can't see what I'm looking at, what I'm showing off, it's a drop point blasted blade with a beautifully contoured G10, black G10 handle and a fantastic flipping action. And he makes these in his shop, and he's a one man band. And he sent it to me and he said, if there's anything I can change, let me know. That's the kind of guy you're dealing with him. He's a very, very nimble knife maker. He's already on version 5 of his Model 1. And then the third runner up is today's EDC. I've been carrying this a lot. That's the Strider SMF concealed carry. So these are the runners up, but let's get to the 10 most carried on screen. You're like, I'm listening. What do I care about on screen? All right, let's start with number 10, my attention to detail Mercantile Mark 1. Now, if you have watched the town halls and also the two podcasts, we've had Douglas Esposito. He's a Virginia knife maker and Brazilian jiu-jitsu studio owner. He makes these beautiful knives. I got my very first custom knife from him. It was a fixed blade. Still is a fixed blade. It's in my cabinet. I'd show it otherwise. But I love his work. And then he started developing this knife, the Mark One. And to me, it's kind of on the same shelf as a Strider or a Hinderer. It's a big, beefy, beautiful, handmade knife. And Douglas has a very, 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 very promising future, man. This thing is incredible. Well, and a very promising present. So I've been carrying this quite a bit this year. I bought this after the April Knife Junkie Town Hall. He was a guest. Next is the only belt knife, I've EDC'd it quite a bit. And it's this Topps Rapid Strike. What a great knife. So this is a slender and slim kind of shank-like knife. Drop point, I got it double-edged. You can opt for that. This thing is just small, thin, light, and comfortable to carry. Now, when it came to me, as it comes, they carve the butt of the handle here, the pommel, into a pyramidal-shaped glass breaker. And it was just very uncomfortable. What I like to do this, you know, put my thumb right there, cap the back of the handle when it's in reverse grip, and that's kind of this kind of knife. And so I ground that off. That's not a glitch on their part. It's just a personal preference thing on my part. And actually, I might even grind a little bit more off the back of this. Also a personal preference thing. I like short handle fixed blades for EDC. And then as you can see, they got this little bolt in there to fit into the sheath. Jimping all the way around the handle. Nicely excessive. I like it. So great knife, this Topps Rapid Strike. Sheath out of there. All right, next is the old ZT0640. An Ernest Emerson design. This is based off the Viper. A slightly larger knife. It's an Emerson. I think it was one of the very earliest Emerson tactical knives, and then they came back and did a version of the Viper a few years back as a signature series. Those are kind of handmade, more expensive and signed knives that Emerson does every year. They'll pull a design out of the vault or make a new design and feature it in a limited run. This is a ZT version, and man alive, as you would expect from ZT, it's just so awesome. I love the understated kind of design here. To me, it fits on the same shelf with a Sebenza. It's kind of that classic understated design. Beautiful. I love how it wedges up right before the blade here. It kind of widens. So if you have to thrust it, presumably that'll stop your hands from riding up on the blade. It comes with a split pea soup green carbon fiber scales on them, which at first I thought were cool, but I just don't like carbon fiber. I didn't mind the color. I'm just not a fan of the material. So I got these natural tan canvas micarta handles. And this knife is awesome. It's also, like many Emerson designs, an incidental front flipper. Next, we have the Spyderco Spidey Chef. What? The Spidey Chef? Yes. Once I had Mike Emler modify it. Mike Emler, also a guest of the show. I had him clip, well, I first sent it to him because I wanted him to sharpen it, because I've never been able to get my Spidey Chef which is LC200, and never been able to get it, adequately sharp for my taste. So I sent it to him. He put an incredible, hand edge on it using stones. And I asked him to clip off the tip to make it more of a thruster. He had me draw the angle I wanted cut, and then he cut it, and then he did this beautiful medium tumble, or I'm not sure what medium it is, but some sort of a stone wash, and he does it for 24 hours, and it's just beautiful, beautiful work. And then I had him leave the handle alone because I love the titanium treatment on these Spidey Chefs, and I love all the snail trails and experience lines on it. Next is the the Hinderer XM18 No Choil Warncliffe DLT exclusive. Yes, that's the longest name of any of the knives I'm showing today. This thing, incredible. Came out, I believe, in 2020, early 2020. I am a huge fan of the Warncliffe shape of that Hinderer does. I have a beautiful XM24. Which I believe XM24, that length, the 4-inch length, allows the Hinderer shapes to fully express themselves to their absolute beauty. So I think all of the 3.5-inch Hinderers are beautiful, but just slightly less than the larger ones. I think the extra space allows them to express the lines fully. Blah, blah, blah. But in any case, I love the no-toil aspect of this. That's what really brought me in. And then, this is 20 CV steel. I also could not get this adequately sharp, so I sent it to Jared Neve at Neve's Knives, who also, uses stones and his hands to sharpen knives, and he put a beautiful edge on this thing. So, this one got a lot of pocket time this year of 2020. A weird parallax view, I think, with the camera. But this still is the largest. Next, the Benchmade Bug Out. Yes, the Benchmade Bug Out. I always have this thing on me. It's either in my waistband or in my jacket. Right now, it's wearing a Snaggletooth, MF. They make the Snaggletooth, in a small version that fits the Rat 1 or the Rat 2. It fits the Bug Out. This one I didn't buy this. Rob Penna sent it to me. It's the blue anodized version. I absolutely love it. It works great. It matches the anodization on the blue that comes with it beautifully. And then it's also wearing the Snaggletooth engagement ring, which is not a karambit fixture, but it's sort of like a solid lanyard or fob. It's for pulling your knife out of your pocket, basically. And it's especially handy with these deep carry pocket clips. So I've been trying this out. I'm going to make a video of this soon, tell you what I think about that. So yeah, the Bug Out, not necessarily in this configuration, definitely with these micarta handles, but this was one of the most carried this year. Next, this was on me a lot, the Microtech Troodon. This is the 3-inch bladed version of the Troodon. Well, the Combat Troodon is the 4-inch. So this is the Troodon, serrated on the back edge and plain edge on the front, just like my drywall dagger. Love this thing. And I carry this a lot in my waistband in appendix carry. I know it sounds dangerous because if it fired out, you know, with appendix carry, what would be damaged? But this thing is not going to just fire out on its own. And it's a very, very, very pleasing knife. And I think that's part of why I carry it. Now, also, I sort of resurrected this. I bought it from a guy who didn't tell me it had all sorts of weird spring sound. It has that spring ting sound, and it would, you know, false fire a lot. And so I did some research and figured out how to fix it. I mean, I didn't even open it. I just flushed it out, did a protocol that they suggested on the Microtech website, and turned this into a great, great little out the front. And it's excellent in the waistband as a little backup knife. So that's how I've been carrying it. Three more. Next. Oh, man. This is probably the most carried of the last 2 or 3 years, or 2 years anyway. Emerson Sachs. Love the Emerson Sachs. Now, this is another knife I had. Oh, so sorry. This is... it's all falling apart, people. It's all coming apart here. This is another knife that I asked Jared Neve to sharpen, and he did a beautiful job. I mean, this, of course, is an Emerson, so it's in 154 cm and chisel, and 154 gets so screaming sharp, and chisel blades are just intensely sharp, and, well, Jared is an excellent sharpener, and so this is insanely sharp. I have the MXG Gear pocket clip, deep carry clip on there, and it leaves just a very discreet little amount above the pocket line. I like a little bit above the pocket line so I can actually grab it and use it. So one of my prized Emersons. I just love that thing. That's one of those Emersons I'd love to have an actual custom version of. Next is the other fixed blade on the menu, and that is the Cope's Designs Ed Calderon Elvia. And it has this really cool sheath with that hook on it. That's so you can drop it into your pocket and have it loose in there. And then when you pull it out of your pocket, this hooks on, kind of like a wave, kind of like the fixed version of a wave. And then here, I'm going to take it off screen so I don't slice my finger. And then what do you remove but this beautiful tactical fruit knife designed by Ed Calderon and created by Copus Design Works. Anyway, this thing, I carry it because, well, A, I love it. B, it's light and thin. And C, if I really actually needed a tactical knife, this would be the easiest thing to access. And it would also require the least amount of fine motor skills, you know, to use. It's one thing to carry a knife like this on you, but actually draw it in duress and open it and bring it to bear. Well, it's a lot of steps. It's a lot of steps for nervous hands to deal with. So, this really is a pretty quick solution if you need to get a knife in your hands. And I just think it's such a beautiful design. I love that weird angle. Lastly, the most carried knife of 2020, even though I got it halfway through the year. The Spartan Harzy Folder. Oh my God. Oh my goodness gracious. What a beautiful knife this is. Anything, Bill Harzy puts his hands to is beautiful to me, is appealing to me. He just designs gorgeous, gorgeous knives. And I got to get my hands on some of his fixed blades. But when this came out, I knew I had to have it. And it took me a few years to actually come around to it. But it has all of the features of the many other knives I love, like the Hinderers and the Striders and such, and Chris Reeve knives. But it's in this beautifully designed Bill Harzy package, Bill Harzy design package. And then on top of that, made in North Carolina by the fine folk at Spartan Blades. What cool guys. I've spoken to Bill Harzy on the show. I've also spoken to Curtis Iovito on the show, and they're both great guys. As you notice, a lot of these knives have a personal connection, because to me, now I'm very interested in carrying the knives of the people I speak with, because they mean more to me now. So after my interview with Curtis Iovito, he said, hey, send me your Spartan Harzy and your logo, and we'll engrave the logo in the handle for you. And what a sweet and awesome, nice thing to do. And boy, either advertently or inadvertently, he turned this into just about my favorite folder. So there you have it. Those are my 10 most carried knives of 2020 in the front right pocket, or with the exception of the Rapid Strike, which was tucked in my belt. So there you have it. Most carried knives. Thanks for watching that. It felt good to get out. Felt good to say. And, well, now I have a couple of knives I'm really looking forward to. I want to get the Jason Knight, folding Kukri, at Tactical Elements. Really want to get that. I want to get that Terravantium, bladed, Terrain 365 STSAT. So I have, now that No New Knife November is over, I have a whole bunch of things I want to get, but it's Christmas season and I have to buy stuff for other people. It's so funny. In December, every year I'm like, God, I always come up with all the things I want for myself in December. And, boy, I've become a materialist, but I've been working on trying to chill it out. So anyway, that brings us to the conclusion of the Knife Junkie Podcast Supplemental episode number 171. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening, if you're listening. And I'm honored to be going into another year. This will be our third year we've started of the Knife Junkie Podcast. And it's great to have you all along. Don't forget to call the listener line, 724-466-4487, to let us know what new knives you're excited about, what knife you're carrying. Give us a pocket check. Whatever it is, just check in. And we'd love to get your voice up on this show. Also, as the holidays come to a scream up at us, don't forget Knife Junkie merch. Now, Jim has designed a whole new line of really cool stuff.
Don't take dull for an answer. It's the Knife Junkie's favorite sign-off phrase. And now you can get that tagline on a variety of merchandise, like a t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, long sleeve tee, or on a pillow, coaster, tote bag, coffee mug, water bottle, sticker, pin, or apron. And with COVID-19, you definitely need a don't take dull for an answer face covering. Let everyone know that you're a Knife Junkie with your Don't Take Dull for an Answer merchandise. Get yours at www.theknifejunkie.com/dull. That's www.theknifejunkie.com/dull.
I like that. /dull. Love that liner. Thank you, man. That looks awesome. So, yeah, Don't Take Dull for an Answer. Go check out that merch. I'm going to be doing the same. Everyone's going to be like, oh, thanks for the sweatshirt, Bob. So, thank you, Jim, for coming up with that new line of awesome fashion wear, Knife Junkie fashion wear. and go check it out. And well, I'm sitting here kind of waffling because I don't want to say goodbye, but I'm going to say goodbye. So for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, and if you haven't noticed, it's looking better and better each week. He keeps bringing on new elements. Awesome job. Thank you, Jim. And for myself, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco, I'd like to say, just like that liner said, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to Bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.